In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right. For more on all of this, including a 9-2 team, well-primed for the postseason and a run potentially to February, let's talk to the Ditty. Ray Dittinger joins us every single Monday at this time. He's brought to us by Verizon. Phones were not made to be broken, but life, it happens. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's got you. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition guaranteed and get a great deal on one of their best 5G phones with unlimited ultimate, the Ditty, Ray Dittinger. Ray Ditty, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
How about some of those names, Ray? I mean, OJ, you know, Walter Payton, of course, held the single game record for a while, for a long time. Can you put into words this Saquon thing? I mean, you've seen a lot. Can you put into words what you're seeing, what we're seeing?
I thought that Merle and Mike did a pretty good job.
Very good job.
Yeah. Pretty good job putting into words last night. In real time. It's historic. It's historic. And, you know, it's fun when you're watching it because you know you're watching history. You know you're watching something that's out of the ordinary. And, you know, you go back to the spring when the signing was announced and that the Eagles have added, first of all, the Giants have let Saquon Barkley leave. And the Eagles are the team that have signed him. And the reaction around the city, the level of excitement. There was a mixed jury about people wondering, asking, how much does this guy have left, realistically, 27, a lot of wear and tear, et cetera, et cetera. But I remember looking at it from the other side and recognizing, having seen him play in college, and recognizing the unique athlete that he is. And then, and just in my own mind, just juxtaposing that and putting him in the Eagles offense. You know, take him away from the mess that he was surrounded by in New York, and juxtapose that, a player like that with that kind of ability and that kind of desire, and now on top of that, something to prove, coming to a team with this kind of offense, running behind this kind of offensive line. I mean, I thought that he would be terrific. I thought he would be a difference maker day one. And he's been all of that, but did I think at this point, Thanksgiving week, we'd be talking about him blowing past Eric Dickerson and Walter Payton and those guys? No, probably not, but damn, it is fun to watch.
Yep. Sustainable? I believe it is, Ray. I think the only thing that holds him back is potentially worry about his health.
Right.
How concerned should the play caller and Nick Sirianni be with the historical stuff? The responsibility as a play caller to give Saquon the opportunity to be the, all-time rushing leader, that sort of thing. How do you weigh that, Ray?
Right, and that's exactly that's kind of what I was thinking last night as I was watching what we were all watching. And then, what Joe was just saying, just a couple minutes ago before I came on, listening to him talk about all the stuff that's out there now, the records that are out there that are absolutely within his reach. Setting records, that have never been touched before by the greatest running backs in history. That's all attainable. It really is. But the question is that worth it? Could he break those records? Yeah, he sure could. He's absolutely on pace to do it, but I don't. I mean, it's going to kind of be up to the coaches to decide how they're going to go about it. I mean, there are a lot of games coming up now, and what's left, where if you're comfortably ahead in the third quarter, you can keep them out there and you can keep them piling up the yards if you want to. You know, but you know, you're not trying to win the Heisman Trophy this year. You know, the idea is to try and win the Super Bowl. So, and I think his nature, it seems to me, and we've already seen evidence of it this year, when there was a game that the Eagles had in hand, and the coaches and Sirianni went to him and said, "Hey, you're this close to a career high. Do you want to?" And let the other guys play. You know, this kind of stuff, the records, they don't mean that much to Barkley. They really don't. I mean, they really don't. I mean, he's enjoying it certainly, but he wants to win. I mean, he wants to win a Super Bowl, and I think that's going to be more important to him than any records. Not every player would feel that way. I mean, a lot of players, if they were on this kind of pace and they had the opportunity to make this kind of history, they'd want to go for it.
Right.
But I think if it's put to him, and there probably will be in the games that remain, a lot of games that by the third quarter, certainly by the fourth quarter, that they're going to be well in hand. Opportunities for him to pile up a lot of numbers, and the coaches will probably ask him, and he'll probably say no.
Yeah.
And I think, you know what, I think that the trajectory that this team's on right now, and the way that they're playing, and the way they seem to be getting stronger by the week compared to where they were a year ago at this time, is all the good reason to say, no, you know, records are great. They absolutely are. And who knows? Maybe they will happen. But that's not what we're pursuing. We're pursuing something bigger.
Hey, Ray, and by the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio and the Diddy with us right now. Seth Joyner will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour in studio for an hour. Ray, obviously Saquon was number one last night. What for you was number two for most impressive? I think there's like 5 or 10 other things that could be an answer here. What grabbed your attention the most in an impressive fashion by the Birds last night?
You're right. I mean, there's so many. I mean, we could talk till 11 o'clock this morning with the list. I mean, they were really good. And listen, the Rams are no clowns. You know, I mean, the Rams are probably going to be a playoff team. I mean, they have this pattern now under McVay that always starts slow and then they come on. And they had been coming on. They had won 4 of 5 and they were playing well. And to the start of the game, they came to play. I mean, you could see that they came to play last night, and the Eagles just beat them down. I mean, that was just a total beatdown by the second half. But the Eagles can do that to people. So there was a lot of good stuff to point to. But if you're asking me what was number one, what came right behind Barkley, it was Brandon Graham. How many big play? How many big plays he made in that game, and how good he looked. You know, I mean, that was, and I felt really good for him. And I was thinking, man, this is really something. At his age, in his last year, that he's coming on and he's playing this way, wow. And then comes what's the only downer to come out of this game is the fact that he suffers this injury that probably ends his season. And it's really sad, because last night was a game that, I mean, it was very reminiscent of younger Brandon Graham. I mean, he just turned back the clock last night, and he was all over the field. And to lose him now with the way things are going, I mean, it's a shame for him, obviously, because this team has a chance to do big things. But, I mean, the team is going to miss him, because the one area we said right before the trade deadline, when when I was on with you guys and you're saying, okay, trade deadline's coming up, is there anything, if you were the Eagles, things are going pretty good right now, but would you be looking for anything? And I said an edge rusher, you know, and I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know what the price would be, but, yeah, I mean, that's what I'd be looking for. And now here we are a couple weeks later, trade deadline's passed, and the one area that you might have been a little thin, you lose a guy who's playing better than anybody.
So what happens next, Ray? It is amazing to me to watch Jalen Carter as a one-man wrecking crew in the middle. The consistency with which he is double-teamed.
He really picked it up. He really has.
And you know, sometimes when a guy gets double-teamed, he quits. You know, I've seen a lot of big-name guys like take some plays off here and there when they get double-teamed. I don't think I've seen much of that at all from Jalen Carter. Like, he is so ferocious, even while taking two guys, sometimes three guys on. It's opening it up for everyone else. But, Ray, we ran out of everyone else almost. How does this get done? Is Moro Ojomo even, like, I don't know anything about him. Well, can he get this done for us?
Ray, and also I think what we're getting at here is, do you trust Nolan Smith in a moment like this? Do you trust Jalix Hunt in a moment like
these
this?
Young
to have to replace Brandon Graham. I mean, who do you lean on if you're Vic Fangio?
I like Ojomo. He was actually one of my sleepers coming out in the draft last year out of Texas. But he's really an inside player. I mean, you're not going to be playing him out on the edge. He's a natural inside player. I mean, you're going to have to ask more of Nolan Smith, who's been playing well this year. But he'll be asked to do more. Jalix Hunt is a possibility. I mean, he's been getting more snaps. It was at the expense of Bryce Huff there for a while. I mean, they were actually using Hunt more, but he'll get more opportunities now. Bryce Huff, they said, even though he underwent the wrist surgery, they were talking about him possibly coming back for the playoffs, so you could get him back. The name to keep in mind is Taron Jackson. I think that right now he's on the practice squad, and he's a guy they drafted sixth rounder out of Coastal Carolina a couple years ago.
Yep.
And we've seen him play in the preseason, and actually I thought he looked pretty good. Now, he hasn't had any opportunities, he hasn't been activated I can think of this year, but I'd be willing to bet you that he's going to be activated now, and he's probably going to get some opportunities to play. They're going to have to find another answer there, because they're certainly going to miss Brandon Graham. But you know, the way the defense is playing right now, and the way Vic Fangio seems to be pushing all the right buttons, I mean, he'll figure something out. But there's definitely going to be more responsibility placed on the shoulders of some of your young players, starting with Smith, and then Hunt will also get his chances.
Hey, Ray, tell me if this. I don't know if this is an analogy, but if this makes sense. 2022, Eagles and San Fran on a collision course, NFC Championship game. 2024, Eagles and Lions on a collision course, NFC Championship game. Does that vibe with you? It just feels that's a
no
showdown,
question.
Right? Yep.
No question. I mean,
where's that getting played?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that's been it now for a couple of weeks. You look around the rest of the NFC. There's really nobody on their level. I mean, they're in a category unto themselves right now. I mean, the Packers are coming on, you know, and they're playing good football, and they'll be in the postseason. They'll be playing into January. But would I match those teams up with the Eagles? Eagles or the Lions? No, I don't think so. It's the Eagles and the Lions. I mean, you can really see it coming, and that's why. The remainder of this season is really important for the Eagles, and that's why winning a game like last night, which I thought was going into it, I mean, it was a 2.5 to 3 point line before the kickoff, which means people thought it was going to be a pretty close game. Turned out not to be, but a close game. It's really important that the Eagles keep winning, because you look down the road and look. I know the Eagles are a good road team. I mean, they've demonstrated that on many occasions this year. Demonstrated it again last night. They are really good on the road, but the number one seed in this conference this year is so big. It's really so big, and it's going. I'm barring some kind of a huge surprise. It's going to come down to Eagles Lions in the final, and boy, home field's going to mean a lot in that game.
It's going to be fun, Ray, on Thanksgiving to watch the Lions. I mean, I don't feel like we have ever. Of all these years we've watched the Lions, sat there on a Thanksgiving day and watched them to assess them versus the Eagles for a conference title game. I mean, last year you kind of were aware a little bit, but this is a different deal. I mean, we're going to sit there on Thursday and really assess, the whole city is, what the Detroit Lions have for the first time ever.
I mean, Joe, no question. No question. I mean, the Lions have been so bad for so long that there was real discussion among the league higher-ups and the network television people having serious discussion saying, look, I know Detroit has always been the early game on Thanksgiving, like forever, but, you know, come on.
Right.
I mean, really? Do we really need to have Detroit as the early game on Thanksgiving? I mean, can't we? You know, there are traditions, but sometimes traditions run their course.
Sure do.
But now, I mean, nobody's having that conversation now.
That's right.
Everybody's talking about the Lions. But here's the thing, Joe. I really feel like even though the Eagles were a really good road team, the way the Eagles are built, the way they play, and the way the Lions play, if that comes down to those two teams in a championship game, and right now I don't see anything other than those two teams. You want to be playing that game in South Philadelphia at the end of January.
I totally agree.
You could maybe go into that dome and beat them. You could, the way the Eagles are playing right now. But the way the Eagles are built, the way they run the ball, as strong as they are across both lines, you give me a nice 15-degree day with 30-mile-an-hour winds in South Philadelphia, and that definitely favors the Eagles.
I don't care how tough they are. The cold is a different toughness. It's a different way of steeling yourself for a game. And sometimes the toughest guys, they can't handle it. They're wusses when the temperature goes down.
I hear you. Hey, Ray, final thing. So you reference traditions that come and go sometimes, and then there's traditions that are going to always be around, like Tommy and Me. I hear that Tommy and Me is back, Ray. Tell the audience how they can see the remarkable play that you created and this great story of Tommy McDonald and you and this whole deal.
Yeah, Tommy and Me, I'm delighted to say Tommy and Me is coming back. It's coming to a new theater, the People's Light Theater out in Malvern, which is a great theater. And it will be there pretty much the whole month of January. We open January the 6th, January the 7th, I'm sorry, and run through January the 26th. And tickets are on sale at People's Light. Just go to their website and you can order them now. They make great Christmas gifts. I'd also remind folks that Joe Conklin, Glenn Macnow, and I will once again be doing our Greatest Moments of Philadelphia Sports Show, and this time at the Players Club of Swarthmore on December 13th.
Nice.
So if you want to come out and see that, and who knows? I mean, we've already done it a couple times, but after last night, we may have to consider adding Saquon Barkley might be bumping the Broad Street Bullies out of the top 10.
I love it.
We might have to consider that, but that's December 13th at Swarthmore if you want to come out and get the Greatest Moments of Philly Sports. And then in January, Tommy and Me coming to People's Light. I hope you can all make it
good
out.
Good stuff. Hey, Ray, to you and your family, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thanks for being a massive part of our program every Monday, and we look forward to talking next week. Thank you, Ray.
Love it. Take care, guys.
Thanks,
Happy
Ray.
Thanksgiving.
To you
Happy
as well.
Thanksgiving.
All right, there he is, the Diddy. All right.
Barkley behind Hurts. Motion to the near side of the field. This time it goes to Barkley up the middle, across the 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 70 yards.
Well, Merrill was fired up, and we all were last night. I mean, that was a game for the ages by Saquon Barkley. A game for the ages. Ninth most rushing yards in an NFL game all time. 270-yarders. And I'm telling you, based on what he did in the first half, where a couple times he just barely got tripped up by guys. Now, you can't totally tell on TV copy, but it sure looked like he had a chance for other long runs. I mean, it was an amazing performance and a great team victory as well.
There were so many plays, Joe, where, just one shoelace.
Yep.
But what led to that one shoelace tackle that just barely got him was a cut to break into the open that no one else in the world makes.
I agree.
It was so unlikely, and it was, and he just kept doing it. And when I say it was just the unlikely thing. That's why he's so amazing to watch, because he'll jump up and spin around and be backwards and facing the other way, and he's moving diagonally and laterally and backwards and forward, and it's all coming fast. And no one
and with power
is fast enough to keep up in any direction. And then if you do catch him, he might just blow you up and break that tackle and make you look silly in the process.
The combo of speed and power reminds me of Bo Jackson.
Oh.
That's what it reminds me
of. Which is just
and Walter
so
Payton.
Legendary.
Reminds me of Bo and
We're
Walter.
We're talking about legends, Joe.
No question, man.
Legends.
No question. Hey, by the way, Wednesday, Turkey Bowl here on WIP. So in 2 days, we will feature, and congratulations to Paul VI and Camden Catholic, where we will be on Wednesday night. So all prior years, it had been a Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, morning game here on WIP. This year for Turkey Bowl VI, we're going to Jersey, and it's a Wednesday night. It's a 7 o'clock broadcast. So Paul VI, Camden Catholic, will be featured in 2 days on our program. And, of course, all presented by Cheney University, Empowering Minds, Cultivating Leaders, Shaping Futures, our presenting sponsor. We thank Cheney University. Let's also give you the Twitter poll question of the day today. Now, time will tell for the dust to settle on these teams to figure out which is ultimately the best, but we're now wondering, where the Eagles rank amongst these four. Which is the best team in pro football? Of course, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Red Tag Bonus Cash is back at Armin Chevrolet, in stock now. The three-row Chevy Traverse, together let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Best team in the NFL. Is it the Eagles, the Bills, the Lions, or the Chiefs? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's go to the phones. We'll get to some audio of Saquon after the game. Again, if you're just waking up to the very unfortunate news, Brandon Graham out for the season. That is a tremendous bummer, most especially on a personal level for BG. The possibility that last night, which was a great game for him, might be the last game of his career. We hope he comes back next year. We hope, ultimately, though, I'll say this, hope more than anything that he does whatever's in his heart to do. You know what I mean?
100%.
This isn't one
whatever
of those things.
Whatever he feels is right. Like, don't feel like you have to come back.
Right.
Look, if it was your last game, like we've talked about, I mean...
What a way to go out.
What a way to go out.
Yeah.
And his whole last season, you know what I mean?
I
He's
agree.
Been amazing this year.
I agree. So we'll find out, obviously, in the coming months if he plays again. But he was great last night. But it is a... And then there's the reality that it does hurt the team, you know, because it is one of their lighter positions, and he had been one of
their
better players.
I think probably lightest, and certainly in terms of super important positions, it's easily their lightest.
I think that's accurate. I do. All right, let's go to the phones. Big game to react to. Joe and Mayfair right now.
The problem is that's about the most important position other than quarterback.
I know. I know.
So, you know, it's not to be taken lightly.
But I will say this.
We are to the point, Joe, where I'm wondering if a D-tackle who can, like, maybe move outside.
There's some of that.
Out. Like Milton Williams, is he explosive enough to maybe look like a D end in some?
So look, I think
packages.
About that also, but I will say this: Jalen Carter being so great inside mitigates the Eagles not being dominant outside.
And the back end of the defense, it's done it all year. You know,
that
the,
too.
You know, it's covered for a less than great pass rush.
There are different ways to win. And the Eagles, you know, this is just what it is this
and
year.
And look, we saw it with our own eyes. We know that there is no injury that you can't overcome and still go win the Super Bowl.
That's
like,
right.
We freaking saw it.
We saw it 7 years ago. Good point, James. All right, Joe in Mayfair. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Before I get into the Eagles game last night, the Lions still have to play the Bills, the Packers, and the Vikings last game of the season. And the Vikings are better than you guys think. They're not up at the top.
I think the Vikings are good.
They are good. They are
quietest 9-2 team of all time.
All time.
It's because they're
very, they're a very complete team with weapons all over the field. And you know the thing with them is Darnold. He hasn't made mistakes all year. But Lions aren't a lot
smart
for the one
coaches.
Seed. They have three tough games the rest of the way. You know, Joe, you might see Zach Bond move around a little bit. I mean, I think Trotter's going to get some playing time. Bond can go to the outside. Now, I'm not talking playing as a four-down lineman. But I can see Vangio going with three linebackers and throwing some different looks with BG out because Bond can get to the quarterback. He's very quick, athletic, and can do a lot of things on the field. So you got to find some ways to get pressure and mix it up to confuse defense with BG out. And what a tremendous loss for the Eagles in the locker room and on off the field. And what a great career he's had for the Eagles, helping us win our own Super Bowl.
So but. Joe, I tend to think his locker room presence will still be strong. I don't worry about that. I worry more about other than just being sad for him. Just, you know, the 15, 20, 25 snaps a game he's been giving them. I mean, they've been good snaps. That, to me, is going to be the biggest issue.
And who replaces those
I
snaps
know.
Is key. But I'll tell you what, the Eagles remind me of Rocky in Rocky II. They just keep coming and coming in waves. The ball tackling, they're gang tackling. They're pushing the line of scrimmage on both sides of the they're dominating. And it's like they're forcing teams in the third and fourth quarter to, like, back off and quit and, like, we surrender. And, you know, what Dickerson did yesterday in the running game, was one of the long the screen pass to Barkley, which was a great call, which changed, I think, the game around in the third quarter where it got them from third and six to first down, and they scored another touchdown with Gainwell. The pancaking that these linemen are doing, getting I don't think people understand when you're an offensive lineman that big to get downfield and not just hit one block and run through another and go through another. The entire line's doing it, but Dickerson
it's
last
awesome.
Night.
Dude, Dickerson's an animal.
Was
he really is.
He is a freaking animal.
Guys, it was everyone
was
getting
running
after
away
it.
From him.
It was everyone
was
getting after
away
it like
from
that.
Dickerson.
It was even
it was funny.
Mekhi Becton when he's pulling and blowing people up. It was even Grant Calcaterra, who I thought, wow, you know, good thing he's friends with Jalen because they have this nice rapport as a, you know, him as a receiver because he's not very good at blocking. Well, He's getting better at blocking, and a big part of it is just the want to. I saw him adjust. He did something, it was a power scheme, a G lead, where you got Mekhi Becton, who's pulling, and he's supposed to be kicking out his man. And then you got Grant Calcaterra, who's supposed to be in phase with that pulling guard, so there's some timing involved. And then you have to read your way up into the line of scrimmage. Read his block to find your way up into the line of scrimmage to your target, sort of like a back reading a block in front of him. So he read his way into a really strange look. Mekhi Becton ended up, instead of kicking out, he logged his man, which means he tried to pin him inside. Grant Calcaterra ended up bouncing it outside of that, quote, log block, the pin block. And it was a really athletic move that allowed him to get outside and cover his man up with a kick out.
Well, yeah.
And
so
it blew it wide open, and there's the touchdown, 72 yards or whatever it was. Everyone's cheering Saquon, but it was Grant Calcaterra. Holy cow, man. You're not even a good run blocker previously. You're getting better, and part of it is just the desire. You can tell how bad he wants it the way he's getting after it and hitting guys.
So Saquon obviously benefited from great blocking last night. That's clear. But Saquon was also a god last night. He was a god. Let's listen to Saquon after the game talking about if he knew he was coming close to various records, you know, one of which he got last night, which was the Eagles' single-game rushing record, and he was within 41 yards of the all-time NFL single-game rushing record. Here's Saquon after the game.
Are you aware, like, as the game's going on, that, you know, you're closing in not only on your single-season rushing record, but also the Eagles for, like, a single-game record?
I'm not going to lie. I looked up, and I saw it was at 173. And I said, I wish I never saw that. And it worked. But, like, again, I'm a big believer in if it happens, it happens. Let it come to you. It was 4 minutes. We was trying to put the game away. I did look up one time to see a replay of the run, and I saw that where I was at. And I literally said to myself, I said, I wish I never saw that. Because, you know, you don't want the – that's just the devil talking. That's just how I look at it. So I just kept my head down and just kept trusting the system, and we popped along.
Look, Saquon last night, he's on pace right now. He is on pace to break the single-season rushing record, which has been held for 40 years by Eric Dickerson.
It's an unbelievable record.
It's an – yeah.
I'm telling you, Joe, I don't even think it's going to be close. I think Saquon can break this record.
Yeah, here's the problem.
I think he can
three
do
three easy games,
I think
though.
They don't need
five games.
Three easy games. Giants, Dallas.
Okay.
Carolina.
All at home. All that should be salted away in the third quarter, and they might sit him.
Maybe.
So the thing that helps him is that they're going to be in a fight with Detroit for the one seed.
That helps. Agree with you there.
That helps.
But it's also what is the mindset of the coaching staff, of the play callers? Yeah. It really does matter.
Well, of course it does. Look, here's the other thing. I'll give you two. One, the Eagles lost the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So you're not dealing with a team that doesn't know the heartbreak of what happened 2 years ago at the end. So I do believe clearly the main objective will be to win the Super Bowl, as it should be. The other thing I'll say, though, is that, well, there's so much to this. There's also Saquon. Like, I know we have the audio of the one time on the bench when he's like, let the other guys eat. But we also know Saquon was held back for so many years in New York. I mean, if you got striking distance of the rushing record, you might want it. I mean, you might. I'm not just because one time he's quoted as saying, let the other guys eat.
We're talking
doesn't mean he's not going to want that rushing record.
He also wants to win.
He does want to win.
Because he's never won before.
I agree.
Before, yeah.
It's got a lot of complications.
It must be nice to be him. It really is.
It really is fascinating.
I expect him to just dive into this, like pour himself in just the way he's doing it now. I expect he can blow this thing open. They're going to keep giving him the ball. He is in such a zone. He's going to blow it. Here's the thing.
He's going to break long runs. He's going to have
another couple hundred yard explosion in the very near future.
If he gets 250 every game, he's going to get there in three games and we're fine.
250 a game. Yeah, exactly.
I like that thinking, Jim.
250 a game.
Did you see what Dallas Goedert did to him after the game?
No.
He pranked him. He put a drug notice in his locker.
Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
They do that after players have big games.
Big games sometimes. So Sirianni, one of the things Sirianni does a really good job with, and I hope people are, you know, ready to give him some credit. I'll even give you an example last night. That play that I don't think they were going to run, you know, fourth and
the hard count.
One. Yeah. Like, that's Sirianni. You know, that's Sirianni.
He's been great about that always, that type of
James,
stuff.
James, I had a buddy about a month ago. These games all run together, but a buddy about a month ago when he had one of them and they didn't run. It was like down at the goal line or so. I don't know what the hell it was, but my friend's like, you know, what's the point of that? What are you trying to trick? Well, you do it 10 different times, maybe one or two times, you get the other team
to jump
both sides.
It drives me crazy when teams don't do it.
Right?
I'm like, why wouldn't you?
It
like, what's the downside
in like two
here?
Other games yesterday I was watching.
It's a thing, and Sirianni is at
And Jalen seems to be pretty good at the hard count. This has happened a few times.
And defenses are freaked out because they know how hard it is to stop the touch push.
They're all geared up.
Totally. Anyway, Sirianni's not going to get the credit for that locally or nationally that he deserves, but he does deserve credit.
How about the credit for the declining penalty?
Credit too. The players need credit.
The NFL's got to clean that up.
They do.
But how about Nick got away with the situation being and like playing it as long as he could to get away with it?
But the NFL,
he got away with it.
A disaster.
That is, if I'm,
I couldn't believe it when they changed it. I was like, "What do you mean?"
It was like 30 seconds later.
Like, what are we talking about? They're lined up to do the play. What is happening? Yeah,
I thought same thing. Anyway, I think Sirianni a couple times this year. We've heard him with messaging to the team as he's related to us sometimes in the interviews, sometimes press conference, sometimes you even hear it in the locker room post game. I like his messaging. He had another one last night I thought it was really sharp. Here he is, post game podium. His mentality, 9-2. His message to the team, 9-2 in the midst of success.
Everyone's going to be telling us how good we are. Everyone's going to be telling us, you know, this is you're one of the better teams. We don't listen to that. All we got to do is put our heads down and work. Just like when people tell you you aren't good enough and you got to block it out. And put your head down and work. It's the same situation here because I think what's going to happen, obviously, and this is what I told our team after is, you know, everyone's going to be calling you. The media is going to be telling you how good you are. The fans going to be telling you how good you are. That all doesn't matter. You know, all that matters is that we go back to work, get ready for a really good opponent. All that is rat poison, which we'll say, you know, all that is rat poison. So please don't tell them how good they are. They played really good today. But we got a lot of work to do. We made some mistakes, you know, coaching mistakes, playing mistakes that we gotta correct. If we want to do things, you know, we're into trying to do something special. And to do that, it's going to take the work day in, day out.
Phenomenal victory. Phenomenal. First time since 2022 versus San Francisco, the Eagles looked like that. All these wins the Eagles had, they hadn't looked like that. And last night was the first time this year, in my opinion, and I would think this is shared by many, that they looked like the kind of team the 04 Eagles were, 2017 Eagles were, and 22 Eagles were. Those three teams were on such a different level. And
they outclassed
other
teams.
And this team, even 6-2, 7-2, 8-2, I never felt they had that. Last night they had it.
And the Rams, a desperate team, desperately needed to win. Best, like, quarterback-coach combo, you know, they faced. You know, the receivers,
Eagles
running
tore
back.
Apart.
They tore them apart.
I mean, the referees handed the other team two touchdowns. Yep. They weren't pass interference.
They were 0-for-8 on third downs.
Yeah, right. And Jalen was great, and he was running for first downs. I mean, the Eagles just totally controlled this game. Let's get to Rick in Easton. Seth Joyner in about 25 minutes joins us. Rick, good morning.
Yes, to John Ritchie's point real quick. I wonder what would happen in the Rose Bowl over the years if you bought those cushy Pac-12, Pac-10 teams to play that Rose Bowl in Michigan or in Ohio over the years.
I'm very confused. I don't know what you're talking about.
When John Ritchie said cold weather.
Oh.
Yeah. Cold weather. Cold weather makes a difference. It really, there's a different sort of toughness. Not everyone has it. Just like football, there's a different sort of intelligence. There are geniuses, like spatial football geniuses. Some people who can tell you what 22 people did at the end of a play. Some of my coaches, I know that they could do that, and I was always amazed by that.
So real quick, you know, you all know this, and I know, John, you know this. At all levels, whether it's high school, college, or the NFL, the offensive line is the nucleus of the success of teams, bottom line. And when you put Barkley behind that offensive line, there's a lot of great possibilities that can happen.
Well, you know what's another one, Rick, that has to be pointed out, man? And this is a Howie and Stoutland thing. Becton. I mean, he was a joke with the Jets. He was a joke.
At a different position.
At a different position. So it's two guys now this year, Becton on offense and Vaughn on defense, where they changed his position. And he's flourishing.
Bond is, oh my God.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
You know, yesterday there was a play where, I think Collinsworth talked about it. Hey, nice job by Fangio peeling Zach Bond off on a play to stop a drive route. You know, like that underneath stuff where Puka Nacua, yep. It's called a drive route, the shallow. It's like 5 yards deep where he's just running from one side of the field to the other.
And he's good at that.
It's a man-beating route, mm-hmm. a drive route in the West Coast offense. Fangio had Bond peel off from what his normal linebacking duty would be in that case, which was, I guess, following a back or doing something, right into the passing lane. And he is so adept somehow. A guy who was once a pass rusher, an edge rusher in New Orleans, is now the guy that we put in, like, the athletic space, I'm going to cover your best receiver.
Which is a wild concept, if you think about it.
It is a wild concept. Yeah. Because now we also have N'Kobe Dean, the other linebacker, who I thought was smallish and not explosive, and now he's the guy that we send more often than not on single backer dogs. Hey, go green light, man. Go get that quarterback, and he'll run over your back en route.
Yep.
He'll blow you up, and it's just so unlikely.
John, I'm amazed by N'Kobe's physicality.
Me too.
Like, let me say
it's
something.
Amazing.
And I mean this as this is not meant as a joke. Nor is this meant to disrespect N'Kobe. He's not that much bigger than me. Like, he's not. And yet, he is flourishing in pro football. I mean, yeah, obviously, he's got more muscles than I got. But, like, he is not. Yeah, he does. I'll give him that, Rhea. But he's not that much structurally bigger.
No, when I met him at the free throw thing, I was like, wow.
Right?
He's just not that big.
And he is playing
that
good
hit last
really,
night.
Oh my God.
Devastating.
He really packs a punch. He does. Let's listen to Lane Johnson. Boy, does he pack a punch. Lane talking after the game last night about Saquon, who packs his own punch. Here's Lane Johnson on Saquon Barkley.
I could talk about the great job of the offensive line. But how much easier is it for the offensive line when you have a running back like Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I mean, he's a truly dynamic player. I mean, you've had multiple weeks to see that. And, you know, we stay consistent with the run. You know, had some stops early, but eventually those creases hit. Huge plays. You know, we controlled the clock during the second half. Defense played a really good job against Stafford. You know, great receiving core. And really, you know, the Rams have a good D-line, man. But... you know, good execution by everybody. Glad to have him on my team, you know, after all these years.
I got to tell you, full disclosure, earlier this year, and perhaps as recently as 4 weeks ago-ish, I did not think the Eagles could become a great team. I thought they could have a pretty good record, but I didn't think they could become a great team. I didn't think they had it in them. They have become a great football team. And there's a lot of reasons why. Saquon's the biggest, but there's a lot of reasons. How it sounded last night, the Merrill montage, we'll get to that shortly. Plus, more from Brandon Graham after the game. The very unfortunate reality, he's out for the year, and as he announced it last night and then talked about it, we'll get to that shortly. Plus, Seth Joyner in about 20 minutes. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
It is a good morning indeed, guys.
Yeah, big time.
I did, real quick on Brandon Graham, not to, you know, hint at what could be, but I just think he's just such a perfect lesson in patience, resilience, and he talks all the time about, you know, you guys, every week, it's like they're always building towards something. They're building. And I really think that kind of enthusiasm permeates the locker room. I mean, I read what Jordan Davis had to say, and it really resonates with everybody. So from a character leadership standpoint, I still think he's going to play a very integral role.
I agree. Totally agree with that.
It's not
sort
easy.
Of a...
I hope he's able to. You know, that he is so established and so venerable that he has the power to persist probably more than most guys who get injured and who are on IR.
And
but
how well he was playing.
You exist in two different worlds when you're IR and when you're regular rostered. To where it's
It really is a strange, like, navigating both, it's tricky. And I'm sure just like everything else, it's going to take a while for him to get good at it.
Yeah. And another one thing about the defense, you know, I'm not saying Puka Nacua is not wouldn't be a good receiver in multiple schemes, but he was absolutely lethal between the 20s. And then, you know, outside of the two gifts that they got in those pass interference calls.
That was a joke.
There's no such thing as empty yards. I mean, he had a big game, but that's kind of the Vic Fangio philosophy at its best. You know, you may give up some yards. It's sort of it's the bend but don't break, but they were also very aggressive at the same time. So,
well, you know what? Look, I agree with you, and I'll say this, though, Ed. The Rams' offensive line killed Stafford. It reminded me a little bit of the Cincy game with Burrow. Like, you know the guy can throw, and he can survey, and he can deliver the ball. But, I mean, Stafford was under incredible duress. And I got to give Jalen Carter credit. We wondered coming into this year, and we wondered in September, if he could get to the Fletcher Cox, Jerome Brown, year two type of play. And it looked to me early this year like he was not getting to that level. And then you look at the last month, and I think, you know, here we go again in a good way where the Eagles have a spectacular interior defensive lineman who should wreck shops for years.
He played all the snaps in the Washington game, and he 54 out of 64 yesterday. Last
yeah, that is really, Ed, great phone call, man. That's really rare and impressive. Let's listen to Brandon Graham after the game when he announced that he's out for the year.
I tore my tricep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got chipped. Got hit in my elbow. Tore my tricep, but, man, hey. Like I told the boys, man, we got the missing, still the missing. You know, we pour everything we can into this game. You know, if I say I trust God, I trust God. So, man, I'm just enjoying myself. I'm about to enjoy this little rehab, and then I'm about to enjoy leading the team, you know, the rest of the year. As soon as I can be back out there, I'm going to be out there. But, man, we was having fun out there. And we still going to have fun, but... I'm definitely, as a player, I'm out for the year.
One of the most special people, let alone players, we've ever seen in Philadelphia sports. Brandon's scheduled to be with us in studio tomorrow at 7:40. Now, we'll see ultimately if he's able to do that. You know, who knows what today looks like. I mean, I'm sure the team probably landed an hour or two or three ago, and, you know, they're going to have to get him treated, and I don't know how soon they do surgery or what, but BG, we'll see if he can make it in here tomorrow. If he does, obviously be with us for half an hour. Let's listen to more, because somehow, some way, even in the midst of this kind of thing, he maintains great positivity. I don't know how he does it. It's an incredible credit to him. Brandon Graham, positive in the midst of an injury.
Like, I can't tell people to be like a certain way, and then when it's my turn to be like that, I got to be like that. And so I tell guys all the time that go out, man, we praying for you, we doing this, but I'm doing this. I'm taking my own advice, and I'm making sure I'm having the best attitude I can have. I'm sure, you know, I'm going to cry about it, but it ain't going to be too long, and then I'm going to move on to the, all right, how can I help my team from the sidelines? And that's the biggest thing I could do.
He is he's a marvel.
Yeah.
He is such a special human being. And that's part of what makes it sadder that he's injured, because he is someone we, and I don't mean just us here, you know, that knows him on a personal level. We, the city of Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Eagles fans everywhere, we really care about him.
Yeah.
We really, really do. And see, you hate when you see an injury like that. But I do believe, you know, he will have a role, even in the midst of being injured. Kind of like Jason Peters did back in 2017 when he was helping Big V.
I really think he can help these young players. And maybe, you know, not being in the game can give him even greater focus at times. You know, he can see more from the sideline, examining some things that maybe these kids,
well,
these
how about
younger
just watching,
players
watching
wouldn't
their,
be able to.
Watching their tape, John. I mean,
of course,
who knows
yeah.
how often he watches Jalix Hunt's tape? I have no idea. Probably not that much, if I had to guess. I mean, now, other than rehabbing, you know, he can really dig into stuff like that and really help the Jalix Hunts and the Nolan Smiths of the world. All right, by the way, Saquon, we don't want to lose sight of that. It was an all-timer. It may have been the best game played by an Eagle since Nick Foles in the Super Bowl, which, James, would be the best game played by an Eagle since Michael Vick in 2010.
Yeah.
Am I connecting dots the right way?
I think absolutely. I mean, Shady in the Snow Bowl, but obviously Saquon was better last night. Yeah.
Bergie when he made 34 tackles in the 70s?
Yeah, for
34
sure.
34 tackles in a game. Let's listen to how it sounded, not in a 34-tackle game, but in a Saquon Barkley just Bo Jackson game. Let's listen to how it sounded. Merrill and Mike last night with the call.
We're going to need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
If the Eagles are going to have the best conference record and number one seed, this game against the Rams is a big game.
Hurts back to Barkley, and Barkley just drags people with him. Back to Barkley again. Barkley takes it to the outside. He's at the 35 and steps out of bounds at the 30. I don't know how he regained his balance. He looked like he was about to hit the ground. He was like at a 90-degree angle. Hurts this time gives off to Barkley, who tries to sweep. Comes across the 30, carries people down with him. Boy, is he tough. Hurts. He's looking. He is firing. And it is caught for a touchdown. A.J. Brown. Stafford backpedals. Here comes the rush. He's hit. They've got him. BG. Oh, was he walloped by Brandon Graham. He never saw him coming, Mike.
Unbelievable job. Off the edge by Brandon Graham.
We have reached the end of the first half with the score. The Eagles, 13-7. This time it goes to Barkley up the middle, across the 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 70 yards.
He was shot out of a cannon.
He fires, he completes it, and running is Barkley down to the 30, to the 25. To the 20, to the 15.
He's a hell of a player. He's the best in the league. He's the best at what he does.
It goes to Gainwell. He wiggles to the 5. He's into the touchdown. He's in for the touchdown.
You're not going
to
lose a lot with Kenny G.
Stafford, hands off inside, and getting trapped and dropped and thrown back this time is William.
Brandon Graham, once again, Merrill, he is the first guy there. He's the disruptor. It's BG getting into the Rams' backfield once again.
Back goes Stafford. Here comes the rush. They've got him again! This is Milton Williams.
Yeah, this offensive line cannot block the Eagles' bigs up front.
He gets it to Barkley, who cuts outside. Uh-oh. He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
How good is that guy?
That is an all-time Eagles record. Breaking the record of Shady McCoy. He is breaking it. He buried it. Oh, my goodness. And the final score, the Eagles 37, the Rams 20.
Well, it was a really, really, really special victory. And I'll tell you, you can hear it in Merrill's voice. I mean, you can just hear the way he's calling some of those moments. That first Saquon touchdown run when it's, you know, touchdown! And then like another touchdown! I mean, he was going nuts. And rightfully so. Last night, for me, for the first time this year, was the first time it felt really special. Really special. Not like, hey, my team's got a good record. We're a great record. But my team might be the best in pro football, and my team might win the Super Bowl this year. That's last night to me represented a lot. And by the way, it also put Saquon further up the mountain as far as MVP possibilities, now third in certain spots for MVP odds. And also, he is now in striking distance for the most yards rushing in NFL history for a single season. He has a shot. You know, right now he's got 1,392 yards. Eric Dickerson holds the record at 2,105. Now, that, of course, a 16-game season back in 1984. Saquon with the benefit of the 17th game on pace, as of right now, to get 2,151 yards, which would break the record. He needs 714 in six games. Absolutely amazing.